Don't you just love Christmas? There's excitement in the air. I think for many of us, it's the same. You remember when you were 5 years old and the excitement of Christmas morning. As we get older, we fake it. We say we're not excited, but we're still very excited. There's something in us, that's programmed to get excited around this time. And so, you know, Christmas is, you know, you have your Christmas trees and all the pretty lights, and we have the Christmas carols, and we have family times together, hopefully, and we have holiday, hopefully. I know some of us don't, but it's a great time of year. It's like going to the beach. It's enjoying. It's enjoying this message of hope. No, it's not that bad. Did they receive their Christmas present this morning? But Christmas is a time of hope. And the essence of the message is this baby that was born that would be the savior of the world, God becoming a man. It's inspiring. But I think for many of us we have different responses to it. Some of us we think, yeah, it's cute, it's sweet, it's nice. It's not for me. It's a fairy tale. It's a, you know, old wives' tale, this Christmas thing. And then some of us say, it's not for me. It's for others. And then for the others of us, it's like when we realize that this is so much more. This is significant. This baby that was born, it is. If you embrace that truth, it transforms you. So the essence of Christianity is truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth. I am the truth." And then the Apostle Paul goes further, and just to give an introduction before I get into Mary, I want to speak about Mary this morning, her life, and as an example to us. But before I get there, I just want to give an introduction for some of us. Because you know what happens sometimes around Christmas time? We hear the songs, we hear the words, we hear the stories, and all the blinders go up, and it's like, that's cute, and we go on with our lives. But it's more than that. So if you look at this verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." Ophrostories, old wives' tales. Well, that's where it comes from. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Amazing. So the Apostle Paul is saying, Timothy, have nothing to do with myths and fairy tales, old wives' stories. In essence, he was saying, guys, this is the real deal. This is no fairy tale. This is no myth. This is the real deal. And then later on, or in the book of Luke, just want to give you an introduction to the book of Luke. We're going to look at a few passages in Luke. And look at this amazing introduction that Luke, a physician, a doctor, makes in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. It says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses." Eyewitnesses. So Luke is saying, and he's writing to a guy called Theophilus, and he's saying to Theophilus, he was a dignitary, maybe a centurion or a politician, but someone important. He was writing this to someone very important. He's saying, "Theophilus, I'm writing this to you because of eyewitness accounts and servants of the word." It says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you." Amazing. It says, carefully investigated everything from the beginning, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught, that you may know this is true. So I want to tell you the Christmas story, it is true. It is not a fairy tale. It is true. Eyewitness accounts, Luke went and he interviewed each and every one of the people who were still alive and said, "Was it so? What happened? How did it happen?" And then they wrote it down. He wrote it down. And then he interviewed Mary just a bit later in the book of Luke chapter 1. I want to read the passage. Then I'm going to show you a video clip, a music video. about Mary, song about Mary. And I'm going to break it down. So verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, now this is Luke interviewing Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. This virgin was me, Mary. And having come in, the angel said to me, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when I saw him, I was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to me, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Amazing, this angel declaring who this baby will be. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to me, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then I said, behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Fascinating, amazing story. Amazing account of what Mary experienced, the mother of Jesus. And Mary stepped into destiny. She stepped into her destiny as she met with this angel and released God's will over the earth. Now, this song we want to play, it's from Pentatonix. It's just five people singing, five voices. There are no instruments involved. And it speaks about Mary, did you know? Did you realize who this son, who this baby will be? Do you have any idea? And then I'm going to share a bit about that. Okay, so let's watch that.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know?
Would one day rule the nation?
Do you know
Is that good or what? That is just incredible. But this story of this baby that was born has it's captivated imaginations and hearts for two millenniums. It's just amazing. With Mary, she stepped into her destiny and released the will of God across the earth. And so I want to use her story as an example for us. I believe it's an invitation for each of us to not just sit on the sideline as spectator and say it is nice, but to actually say, well, what does it speak to me? What does it mean to me? Mary, did you know who this your child is? And then same for each of us. Have you any idea who Jesus is? Have you any idea how glorious, how powerful he is? Do you know? So I'm going to share a few things along those lines. But a life, Mary's life was a life completely surrendered to God. And that which was birthed through her, the Son of God, has changed the world. So let's look at a few verses there that I've already read. Luke 1:26 says there, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man. And the virgin's name was Mary. You see, when it comes to destiny, I want to encourage each of us to release our destinies, to step into our destinies this morning. The angel is sent to Nazareth, to Galilee. Do you know that the word Nazareth, it's not in the Old Testament, never been mentioned by anyone, Nazareth. Galilee has been mentioned before. About 800 plus years before, there was a king of Tyre. And it was a time of Solomon, King Solomon. And King Solomon gave to the king of Tyre 20 cities from Galilee. The king's name was Hiram, but he says he was not impressed. He said, what kind of cities are these which you have given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul, which means good for nothing. So Galilee was called good for nothing. Good for nothing. And so it's amazing. God sends an angel to a good for nothing place to speak to a teenage girl, probably 13, 14, maybe 16 years of age, and nobody. The angel steps into her life and speaks to her. And God releases his plan into the world. God loves to use nobodies from nowhere little places. You know, we came to East London about 6 years ago, and everybody was crying for us when we came to East London from Cape Town. No, I'm so sorry to hear. And then every time I go back to Cape Town, people say, so how's it going in PE? I'm not in PE, I am in East London. I don't think it's on people's maps. And then normally when they also say, just, you know, we're going to do something in PE, you know, just quickly, just it's just around the corner. It's just that far on the map, isn't it? It's 3 hours or more. To a biker, yes, or less. But God loves to call people who are nobody. And he loves to choose people from nowhere places. So I want to say, if you're from East London, it's a nowhere place. Praise Jesus. He's going to do amazing things from this city. So God chooses this insignificant teenage girl. I mean, just think of how God chooses his disciples. It's the fishermen, the tax collectors, nobodies. God loves to choose the ordinary and to make them famous. Jesus, God made Mary famous. Now, I don't think God's going to make everyone famous in this life, but you can be famous in heaven. You can be famous in heaven, even if not in this life, when you allow him to work in you and through you. Have you ever felt good for like a good for nothing? Ever felt not good enough? You qualify. You qualify. So I want to encourage you, no matter what your past, no matter what you've been through, no matter what matter of sin, no matter of ups or downs you've experienced in your life, he's calling you. I know it. He's calling. You see, he's calling each and every one of us. He's saying, be like Mary. Come. Be like Mary. Come. That's what God wants to do. What an honor. What an honor. It says in verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So, incredible proclamation. Highly favored one, Mary, this nobody from nowhere. What an honor to be the mother of the Son of God. Incredible honor. But I'd also say, what an honor to have God call you or me. Say, come follow me. Come follow me, and I'm going to birth into this world great things. It's an honor to be called by this amazing God. Just imagine an angel walking into your life. Just imagine an angel walking into your house. I believe God wants to. I believe God wants to step into our hearts and lives like we have never imagined. But he's waiting. He's looking for loyal hearts. He's looking for someone who'd say, God, I'm available. I was thinking yesterday, just praying a bit, and the Lord's just been working in me the last few days. And I said, God, I'm available. I've got nothing better to do. You're it. I've got nothing better to do. You're it. God, I'm available. And I think God is waiting for more of us to raise our hands, say, God, I'm available. And he's going to walk, maybe even an angel is going to walk into your life, going to walk into your house. But it says there then that she was troubled at the saying. She was troubled. Troubled. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Now, you'd probably be troubled if an angel walks into your, you'd be, wow, okay. And considered what manner of greeting this was. And so she was troubled, which one can just understand. It does sound scary if you actually go through the process and of what God is calling her to do. It is quite scary. But this is an amazing thing. When God calls you, know that there is trouble on the horizon. There will be challenges. And for Mary, it was. She had to face ridicule. The one who had a baby outside of wedlock. The whispering. And just imagine the people whispering in the community. Do you know who that one is? Do you know what she did? The ridicule of what she supposedly did. Going through life and her son being labeled in a certain way, then when he started his ministry to be persecuted, and then later on, what 33 years later, she was at the cross and she saw her son tortured and crucified on that cross. Standing there, Mary was faithful to the end. And later she was at Pentecost as well. She stayed faithful. She stayed faithful, but there was challenges, there was trouble. It's not an easy road. And the same for many of us as Christians. We back away when family or friends, they whisper. I've seen it with me and Sonic, even on our wedding day. We had worship at our wedding. We had like 4 or 5 songs, full band. I mean, I remember on the video, Sonic at some stage was with the flowers in the hand, worshiping God. And then on the video, I saw some of our family members laughing at us and pointing. Because this is so weird. How can you be this passionate about something you don't see, can't feel? And so people will whisper. People will say stupid Christians. They will say things about us. They will laugh at us. They will say all these funny things about us. And because we are a bit weird. But this amazing truth. This is something that's settling in my heart more than ever before. You will see. If not in this life, in the next, you will come to know what I know. This is not a fairy tale. This is the truth. There is a God in heaven, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross. There will come a time, there will become a moment where the Bible says that every eye on the face of this earth will see him coming on the clouds. I know it sounds far. It will be. It will be. So I want to encourage every Christian here. Don't allow the whispering. Don't allow the laughs. Don't allow those things to cause you to back away from that which is true. This is the truth. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Verse 30. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. In the previous verse, he said there that for God is with you. The favor of God is upon your life. Who cares who's against us if God is for us? Who cares if people might mock us or laugh at us when we have favor with the Almighty God in heaven? Who cares? Who cares? You see, God is not looking for a majority. He's not saying, well, if we have enough people, then we're going to change this country or East London. He's not looking for a majority. You and God together, you are a majority. You are a majority. With God on your side, Mary with God, and what was birthed through her changed the world. I believe it's an example for each of us. God isn't looking for a majority. God doesn't need a million people to change history. He's looking for a willing man or woman or child that would say, God, I'm available. Got nothing better to do. Can't eat more, Lord. I'm available. So then just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you say yes to God. God will be with you. Don't be afraid, but say yes. Be a majority. And then it says, then call his name Jesus. The word literally means he will save. He will save. I believe that what God births in us and through us will add to this. He will save. He will save. That's his heart. That's why he came, his passion to save. He will save. God wants to birth his purposes through you. So in that song, the song's word says that to Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that this little one will be the key to make you new, to deliver you? And same for each one of us. Jesus is still here to deliver. In verse 32, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, now you must think this is an angel from heaven saying this. And of his kingdom there will be no end. So like Mary, do you have any idea who this baby is? The words from the song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Isn't that beautiful? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Isn't it proven that Jesus is great? Isn't it proven? Of the greatest of conquerors that this world has ever seen, who has ever won multitudes by the love of his heart? He's the greatest conqueror. Of all deliverers, who delivers us from all evil? Of all liberators, who liberates the soul, the spirit, and the body for all of eternity? Of all saviors, who is the one who washes our sins away and makes us new? Jesus. There's only one. Not a myth, not a nice story. Truth. And if you embrace this truth, it will transform you. When you come to know the greatness of God, you will do great things. You won't be able to help yourself. Because when you come to know the greatness of God, you will position yourself in a place so that God can do great things through you. You will start saying like the disciples said, when everybody left, everybody walked away. They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying to the crowds. They all walked away. And then Jesus looked at his few disciples and said, are you going to go as well? Say, Jesus, where will we go? You're it. You alone have the words of eternal life. And you can know him as well. I don't know where we are at this morning. I don't know where your heart is, your relationship is with God. But you can know the oasis in the desert. Jesus is the only spiritual oasis. The rest is all desert. The great I am. Do you have any idea who this little baby is and who we became? And what are you going to do about it? Can we have an experience like Mary? The angel comes in, declares these incredible things, and then Mary standing aside saying, "That's nice." And then she keeps on with washing some clothes or something. No, you can't. It's like, you have to do something with this message. You have to respond to this message. You see, there are many spectators in Christianity. Do you know that the spectators? Those are the ones who haven't come to know the greatness of God. Those who have come to know the greatness of God, they cannot be spectators. You cannot just sit on the sideline. You cannot just let it go, because it becomes like a fire on the inside of you and it burns. It draws you forward. It motivates you to reach out, to make a difference. Are you a spectator? Don't be a spectator. And then verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now let's say she was 15 years old. She's like, "Angel Gabriel, my mama had, we had this birds and the bees chat the other day. Shouldn't there be a man involved? What's going on here?" And then the angel goes on. This is powerful. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said," look at this incredible response, "'Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So, we can learn from this. The key to stepping into our destiny and releasing the will of God upon this earth, we can learn from Mary three things I want to mention. The first one, and to sum all three up, it is to surrender. What would be possible for God to do through one life that is completely surrendered to God? What would be possible? What would be possible if you or I choose to completely surrender our lives to God Almighty, as Mary did, and to say, "Your servant, let it be to me according to your..." What would be possible? And so there are three areas that we need to surrender. The first one is surrender to the Holy Spirit. It says that it's overshadowed like a glory cloud. There's such a large percentage of the Church of Jesus Christ that rejects the Holy Spirit. Mention Him by name, but don't embrace Him as God the Trinity. God the Spirit. So one of the keys to see your destiny released, to see you become everything God has destined you to be for His namesake, is to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to overshadow you like a glory cloud, and to birth in you even as He birthed in Mary. Now hopefully you will not come physically pregnant, unless you're married and it's your husband. But God wants to birth on the inside of us a dream, a vision. And He's saying, "You are more than this. I choose the nobodies." Stop living as a nobody. Because when He chooses you, you become significant. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, surrender to His word. When His promise is spoken over your life, even this morning, as the word of God is spoken over your life, you can say, as Mary did, let it be to me according to your word. And it says, therefore, with God, nothing will be impossible. That literally means, for with God, no word will be impossible. Whatever word God speaks over your life, he will make it happen. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Never too late. Christmas is a great day to start again, afresh. Surrender to his word. And then thirdly, become a surrendered servant. Become a surrendered servant. You see, Mary could have lost everything. She risked losing Joseph, her fiancé. She risked losing her family, would think, how could she? She would lose her reputation. I mean, they could have, if she said, no, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, they could have said, you are crazy. They could have locked her away. She could have lost everything. But Mary decided, I'm just your servant. I'm just going to do this for you. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be. So to conclude, if we embrace this truth, it will transform us. If we remain spectators, we might lose everything. But if we surrender our hearts and say, Lord, I acknowledge these are eyewitness accounts. This is true. The Son of God, the great deliverer, liberator, savior. I want this. You see, some of us have said yes to Jesus by word, but we're still spectators. You've sorted out heaven and hell. Hey, I'm going to heaven. It's good. Now I live my own way. Mary said, I'm not going to live my own way. This became her life. The will of God became her life. Let's become pregnant with the purposes of God. There's a world out there waiting for you and me, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Will you, as Mary, embrace your destiny? I believe that's what Christmas is about. It's to draw us in, to say, respond. Make this your life. Make this your everything. What better do you have to do? Let's become surrendered servants to the Most High. And he's going to bless you. He's going to say, all the favor of God's going to rest upon you. Hallelujah.